Hello and welcome to a special edition of the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show for Pick Your Prize Day, one of the great contest opportunities of the year at Monmouth Park on Saturday. You can play live at Monmouth Park. You can also play on your ADW if you have a TVG. Make sure to go to the Monmouth Park website, look for all the details, or if you're looking for information about Pick Your Prize, reach out to me directly, the contact page over at inthemoneypodcast.com. I'll be sure to put you in touch with Brian Skirka, who'll get you signed up for this great event. Very happy to bring in a man who's participated in that event many times himself, though I think he might be a little too busy being on TV on Saturday. He's Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
Yeah, it's a great contest. I enjoy participating in it, but it's just going to be too much, I think, on Saturday. Be there all day on air with little Paul LaDuca, little Lafitte, little Rajiv. We're not racing at Naira, obviously, getting ready for Belmont Stakes Festival at Saratoga. So we'll be just having a Monmouth on America's Day at the races. So they're sending down a pretty big squad on Saturday. So I think I'll probably just be a little too busy.
Rolling deep. Will the Naira crew be with that, or the At the Races crew be with Naira off? It's a great point. Saturday and Sunday, loaded cards at Monmouth, 12 races. I was really impressed with the six races we're going to talk about on this card. But since you mentioned the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival, might as well point out that we're going to have a lot of other content coming up on this YouTube channel for that. Best way to get all of that is to subscribe to the channel and click that notification bell so you don't miss any of the content we have coming up about that or racing around the country. Speaking of travel around the country, just back from Buffalo, I've got my, I don't think you can quite see it, it's the monogrammed even, my monogram Bison's jersey here. Had a terrific time with our buddy Anthony Sprague, longtime listener, the GM of the Buffalo Bisons out there. And I even had the honor, JK, I've had a lot of honors in my career, you know, you can't see it in the tight shot here, but there's some statues back there that we've won for doing these shows. You know, I'm not shy about mentioning the fact that I'm a New York Times bestselling author, but now I've thrown out the first pitch at a professional baseball game.
I'm aware. I saw that. The good news is it wasn't as bad as, you know, top-ranked middleweight contender in the UFC, Paulo Costa, who threw one out this week at the Mets game. And yours wasn't as bad as 50 Cent as well. So it wasn't good, but I guess you should have some comfort in knowing it wasn't as bad as those two.
Hey, listen, man. The guy I'm throwing to is wearing a giant head. We warmed up on the sidelines, and if I did not put that ball in the glove, he was missing it. So I figure better safe than sorry. It was about a 25 to 30 foot first pitch, but it did hit the glove, and the people cheered. So that's all you can ask for, really. You can find that on my social media. This is what we want in the comments today. Give me your thoughts on my first pitch. I'll make the first comment and put the link to the tweet in there. You can watch it and let me know what you think. I probably could have done better under other circumstances, but we'll take it. And if I outperformed a UFC fighter, that's a good thing. Just, you know, don't let me anywhere near the octagon with him. That will not go well. Okay. Shall we talk about these races at Monmouth in this Pick Your Prize contest, JK?
Let's get in here.
Let's do it. And we'll start off with the sixth to last race. I'm sure there will be plenty of action in the early part of the card. One of the great things about Pick Your Prize, basically 2.5 times your bankroll is going to give you a chance to participate in that prize pool. Used to be about 2 times, but it has gotten a little bit tougher. Still quite achievable. If you have a strong opinion early, by all means, fire. But I have a feeling if you want to end up at the top of the leaderboard, these are the races you're going to want to be focusing on. We'll start with race number 7. It's a maiden special weight for fillies and mares, 3 and up, going 1 1/16 on the turf. I thought there were a couple of interesting horses in here, JK. I'll start off with number 9, Wrigleyville. Made a promising debut in Florida. This Glen Hill Farms color bear, I think, is going to be better going farther, being that she's out of Marketing Mix, who was a grade 1 winner, going the 9 furlongs. Both siblings won 1 mile or farther on turf. This horse should be forwardly placed off that debut sprinting, and I think ought to improve. Gasparilla, another one who's supposed to improve, made a little bit of a run on debut. Not much was expected based on how huge her price was that day. Maybe she was a little short. Now getting the Lasix and blinkers makeover for Shug, whose horses do so well. Second time out, this is one I think can be in there as well. And then the horse who's going to probably be a favorite, who I don't want to get beat by and will probably play in exactas on top of those other two. The 8, positive carry, was in the Gasparilla race last time, has run the fastest races. My issue with positive carry was simply has had her chances and might be overbet, but just too logical to ignore. And I don't really have anything against her other than her price is probably just going to be her price. 918 for me. What do you think to kick things off?
Yeah, look, I don't want to harp on the 9. I agree with that one. The Jack Sisterson, Glen Hill runner, seems very interesting, stretching out a little bit, who I thought ran well sprinting last time. And if you know anything about the type of horses that get bred from Glen Hill Farm, sprinting on the turf is not necessarily what they're meant to do. This horse is probably going to improve going a little bit longer. I wanted to use the 7, Colorful Lady. I just kind of like that Grey Osh race from Aqueduct, where Chad Brown ran 1-2, and then Colorful Lady came running for third. I think could improve second off of a break. And then I want to make sure I have the 11, Timeless Elegance, towards the outside with Jonathan Thomas and Frankie Dettori, huh? Little Frankie Dettori on the Jersey Shore. I think that's going to be a little bit interesting. But I thought this horse ran well, 2 races back on the turf, gets back on the turf, doesn't draw particularly well, but that's where a Frankie Dettori comes into play. I'm assuming that Frankie will find some way to get some cover and to save some ground.
He's got a lot of live mounts on this card, and all for Jonathan Thomas, I believe. Very interesting. My real question, though, as far as Frankie being down on the Jersey Shore, where are they going to send him for pizza? I wonder if Federici's in Freehold could be in play. I'm sure Frank Miramati, who we did get the word, will be calling on Fox, Big Fox, for the Belmont Steaks Festival. You know, he knows those pizza places pretty well. I'm sure he can get word to the crew for where they should end up. Let's move on to race number 8. Another nice one. 3-year-old fillies in the allowance ranks in a sprint. We're going 6 furlongs on the dirt here. I sided with Kaye Amada in this spot, JK. Really stood out to me. Bet pretty darn hard in that comeback race at Keeneland and just had a tough trip in there, breaking poorly, made a rail run. Almost got into third, and I think it's a little bit better than it looks because it's one of those races that had a runaway winner so that you don't really notice the improvement late from Kaye Amada in that spot. Those 2-year-old races were okay, and I think she's just poised to move up. Rhapsody was in that race as well, had a much easier trip, but given how much better Rhapsody's dirt run was than her other form, I'm still interested in her on that basis. The 3 is an A, the 8 as a B for me in race number 8.
Yeah, 2, 3, 6, 9 is what I had written down. You talked about the 3. The 2 I thought was a little bit interesting, had some okay pace figures down at Parks, shows up drawn to the inside. You think probably send away from there. I don't think the speed of the speed, because I think the 6 is the fastest horse early. And this is a horse that, you look at these maiden 30s, and a lot of times I kind of shun these horses to a certain extent, not think that they're really up to par for facing a group like this. But this horse ran well, and that's what speed figures are for. And this horse ran a fast number, so I want to make sure that I use the 6 as well. 2, 3, 6, 9 for me. I don't really have them separated. I think the 6 adds some value, but it feels like kind of a wide open, whoever works out the best trip type of race.
For the notes that I'm going to send around to our In the Money Plus subscribers, I am going to list the 6 as your top pick on that say so, but I won't grade them into A's and B's. In addition to extra written content and podcasts, you get digests with the picks from our various audio and video shows. If you want to learn more about that, go to inthemoneypodcast.com/plus. As we move on to race number 9, we've got a $16,000 claimer on the turf. We're going a mile and a 16th, and I thought this one was pretty competitive. The one I landed on was the 4, Chico Charlie. Just missed at a slightly higher claiming level at Tampa back in April. This horse, I like the fact that he is versatile. He's versatile in terms of running style, and I thought would just get a good forward-type trip. Another thing I liked, with only 9 starts in this restricted claimer, one of the least exposed runners in the field, where you see a lot of 2-for-15s and such. The 11, Classic Creation, might have a class edge. This is only the second time in a claiming race. This is the Frankie-JT combo again. Just like the other race you mentioned, JK, going to have to work out a trip from that far outside. But Frankie has that club in his bag. Call it 4 as an A, 11 as a B for me. Where are you in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to single the 11 here as a single A. I just think this horse is better than the rest of them. Chico Charlie does have a little bit of a tactical edge, and I found that one to be at least interesting as an alternative. But like likely to be the second choice, And you know, I need a little bit more if I'm going to try to beat the best horse in the race, if that makes sense. And I think the 11 Classic Creation is just better. You look at the past performances running in starter allowance types races and has been close enough. I'll draw a line through that last when they try to get along. And that's all I need is Frankie in the 11.
Basically the 11. Should I list the four as a lone B alternative for you or just stand cold?
Yeah, you can leave me cold.
Okay, let's do it. We'll take the four out. Folks will see that on mine. Let's go to race number 10, where we've got a nice-looking allowance race going a mile and 70 on the dirt. Field of 11 scheduled to go postward. And I find myself liking the trip that the number 8 Aztec projects in here. This horse has back races good enough, and I think will be a decent price. What was it, like 8-1 on the morning line? That might appear 6-8-1 for that one. The 7 Mount Swagger, I also thought was a little interesting after trying to close without the benefit of a great setup last time. And there is a scenario in this race where the pace really heats up and could play to Mount Swagger's late kick. I had this one 8-7. What do you like in race number 10?
Yeah, I'm going to use the 4 and the 11. The 4 Reddington is a horse that I handicapped pretty intensely the other day on May 19th. The horse ran at Aqueduct. And in that race against Bindog two back was extremely impressive. Just in fact of that race, not so much Reddington's performance. Reddington didn't run well at all, but that was a very tough race. 4 horses have come out of that race to win. I think this horse was in deep water in that race, and he just never really like got around. I don't even really discount it as like he ran well. He ran a little bit better next time. And then, but if the races prior to that, when he was with Rob Attriss, and I understand what I'm saying out loud, when he was with Rob Attriss, so there is a trainer change. You got to wonder if that's going to be different. But I think Reddington's at least a little bit interesting, especially running back pretty quickly, right? Running back off of that May 19th, keeping the horse protected. Almost like they feel like there's a good performance to be had. And then I'm going to use the 11 Carlo Rapido to the outside. And he's not very Rapido early, at least in his last race. But 2 races back, he showed a little bit more tactical speed. He's drawn towards the outside, so you'd like to think that Joe Bravo will try to get the horse at least in the race to be able to try to get over to save some ground. So all I need is the 4 and the 11. They'll both be A's, but I'll put the 4 on top.
We move on to the late double, which starts with our feature, the Jersey Derby. Stakes action on the turf for these 3-year-olds. JK, I hope I don't throw you off too much by breaking the pattern and keeping this one with you for your thoughts on the featured race at Monmouth on this Saturday. Pick your prize day.
Yeah, look, I just think it's the 2 top horses, and it's hard to separate the 2, the 5 Move to Gold and the 8 Twirling Point. The 5 Move to Gold, who I thought the last couple races have been good. And if you look at the Quicken, you look at the final numbers, you know, these 2 horses, the 5 and the 8, really do kind of stand out above the rest of them. So I don't have anything overly clever. If I was playing multi-race bets, these are 2 horses I'd try to lock the race up with. If I was playing some doubles or whatever and pick your prize, I would lock the race with these 2 and turn the page.
Well, I want to not be accused of a host fail. You very quickly there used a bit of jargon, the Quicken, especially here on YouTube. We got a lot of newer people watching. What do you mean when you talk about a turf horse's Quicken?
Well, a lot of times slow paces and turf races can be a little tricky, and it can make it hard to evaluate how a horse ran. So one thing that you can try to do is try to find a way to quantify those internal moves within a race that might show a race that gets a 70 overall, but has an internal move that's more likely to be transferred to an 80. I think sometimes that can help you understand slow pace races. Also fast pace races where it falls apart. The Quicken in those races, that internal number won't be very high. The final number might be high, but you can kind of tell that someone else kind of sucked that performance along. So it's just a Quicken essentially is the internal portions of a turf race.
Yeah, the internal fractions as measured, as attempting to measure essentially what I think a lot of people would call turn of foot, or that ability to rapidly, in a short amount of time, get oneself into the race. I'm with you. I had Twirling Point on top, basically off the versatility he's shown. I thought the last race was pretty nice, didn't break well, closed nicely, despite not being a good setup. Tricari obviously came back to win the Grade 2 on Derby weekend. I think this horse has more speed than he showed there, and I'm hoping he can get more of a stalk and pounce trip or close from mid-pack in a race where I do expect there to be enough pace to set up these 2 closers, and then Move to Gold, as you mentioned, more of a proper deep closer who I think will be the clear winner if they really go too fast, unless the 8 Twirling Point really trips out. But I think at the prices that they're likely to be in the end, I'll call it 8-5, 5.8 for JK as we move on to the nightcap, the race where you're going to see a whole lot of people doing math calculations, trying to figure it out. The thing about this pick your prize contest where it can pay down to 33rd place, you know, what do you need to get in one of those top prizes where you get multiple dips, multiple bites of the apple in terms of the pick your prize pool, or who's, you know, just more content to lay up for a lower rung of the prize pool. Going to be very, very interesting for a $7,500 claimer. There's going to be an awful lot of money bet and smart horse player thought spent on this one, going a mile 70 to close things out at 6.08, race number 12 at Monmouth. Who would you, if you were there and pick your prize and trying to get that top number at the end, how would you approach this one?
Well, I think it depends on how much money you have and what your goal is, what you're trying to accomplish, not to back off of your question, but that's the honest answer.
I was assuming we were talking win or bust.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd be willing to end this contest format. If I could get the right number on the one graded coconut, I would take it all in approach. Graded coconut to me, just a class edge here. You know, you're down on the inside, you have Paco, you're off a trainer change, just an aggressive send from the inside. The pace figure suggests that Graded Coconut can make the lead. The final figures suggest that Graded Coconut's better. The class edge is with Graded Coconut. I've got no problems down there. So just send away from there and hold on. And hopefully they'll, Graded Coconut can extend the lead throughout the stretch. I think that this horse stands out versus these others. And look, I'm sure there's some creative ideas if you're someone who's looking for some improves or some changes. But to me, this horse just felt like the best one.
I took the pace view a little more like Timeform US, that had this as a fast pace with potentially three runners a little bit faster than Graded Coconut. Graded Coconut is probably better than the horses Timeform US has in front. So your scenario could absolutely be right. But I was going to play it for something to come from a little bit off the pace. And I landed on number 10, Quincy Market, as my top pick. Not too far removed from a race figure-wise that has the chance to win this pretty easily. And while I do not see any excuse for the last effort, it was against better. Horses adding blinkers here and could be sitting in the right spot as they turn for home if they go too fast early and Graded Coconut is denied that advantage. Another I wanted to mention is Ballantyne, taking a mighty drop. Also has plenty of races faster than the sort of average horses in here. And then my big question about Ballantyne was, do we think Frankie will do a flying dismount in a $7,500 claimer? What do you think about that, JK? And what do you think about any others you might mention as backups in here? I will note that on some tickets, I would have Graded Coconut as a backup, as the presumptive best speed. Even in a race I'm going to play for the closers to come back, I still love to at least have a backup with the likely best speed horse. That is definitely your pick. What do you think about any backups in this, or are you pretty content to just row in with the one?
Yeah, I mean, the only horse I could use the backup would be the three Ballantyne, I think Frankie probably will do a flying dismount, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe, you know, getting excited his first time to the Jersey Shore. Well, not probably his first time, but you know what I mean, in a long time. The problem with this horse is this is a very, 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 very aggressive drop. I don't want this horse coming back with me drop. While those situations can often lead to wins, the horse is trending in the wrong direction and has a style that is just not one that I love on the dirt, especially with cheaper type horses coming from off of it. So, look, he's got a huge class edge. Wouldn't want to, if I was in a position where I had enough money to save a little bit with the three, I would definitely save a little bit. But I also have no problem just being all in to the one.
All right, we'll see how it plays out on the Jersey Shore. Once again, pick your prize. Get involved. MonmouthPark.com. You can find the info there. If you need a little contest Sherpa-ing, I have that club in my bag. Reach out to me at the contact page over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. I'll get you to the right people. We'll get you signed up. Especially if you want to play online, you can't delay. They close that early. You can sign up if you're playing live at Monmouth earlier than that. Anyway, we will get you helped out, and we look forward to this great day of racing. Two great days of racing on the Jersey Shore. So happy to be partnered with Brian Skirka and the team at Monmouth. For JK, I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your photos.